This is Allison Harris, who just directed that choir. Allison, did you ever go to choir camp when you were a kid?
I went to choir camp a lot.
How many years have you been at choir camp?
This is my 18th year
at
choir camp.
18th year at choir camp.
And I'm only 19.
And you're only 19, right? Which one of those kids in that choir that you just directed was yours?
None of them.
So why did you come back to give to these kids that aren't yours?
Because I love these kids, and they're amazing, and I think you just heard that. These are really, really special people that you just heard in front of you.
So you went to choir camp, and a whole bunch of people who weren't your parents invested in you, and now you're coming back to invest in kids that aren't your kids? Is that how that works?
That's how that works.
That's how that works. Thank you for making that work. That was pretty cool. On the ride back from camp yesterday, Sam, our 8-year-old who is in this choir, asked. Usually at the ride back home, we're listening to One Direction or Justin Timberlake. I'm working on better bands, right? Every once in a while, we get some Ozzy Osbourne in there or something like that. Yesterday on the ride back, we listened to them sing songs that they learned in camp. All the way home, we sang those songs and listened to them sing them. So thank you for pouring into the life of these young people. There's one other person that I thought I knew this week until I really watched her in action. And that's Miss Jennifer Semivan, who if you come to camp, she is on from day one until day six. She's on from the first bell until the last bell. She leads the silly singing. She leads the silly dancing. She holds a pretty tough choir rehearsal and brings the best out of young people. And I know she didn't know I was going to stand up here and make a big deal out of her, but Jennifer, would you just come on up here for a moment? Going to be mad at me tomorrow for that, but it's all right. It's all right. Friends, we are in the middle of our sermon series here this summer, and as I was planning it ahead, I kept hearing about choir camp, having no idea really what it was or how it worked, and now I have a much different experience of it. But as I looked at the calendar and knew that I would be in the midst of it, I realized that on the Tuesday of choir camp, on day two of choir camp, I would be celebrating my 20th wedding anniversary at choir camp, and Bridget and I would be there together. So here's what I want you to do. When you, I don't know if that's me making that or not. Is that me, Joe? Sure. How's that? Is that better? All right. So when you meet the partner of your dreams and you decide to make a hitch together and you're going to do life together and you think about, gosh, we're going to make it to 20 years and that's going to be such a special moment and we're going to celebrate it in this amazing romantic way. And then 20 years later, you find yourself surrounded by 90 kids, only two of them are your own. You are a 250-pound man sleeping on a top bunk in a dorm room on a mattress this big, right? I will never be the last counselor to camp again. Where's Chris Baker? That guy right there. Welcome, new pastor. You're up there, big fella. Good luck, man, right? Every night, I would hoist myself into bed. He'd hold that bed down so it didn't tip over. And that first night, I'm just meeting the brother, right? And I'm up here and I go to him, if this falls through, I will say very nice things about you at your funeral. I promise. I will say very nice things about you at your funeral. Every morning, the boys in the cabin would gather around and say a little prayer as I hoisted myself out of that bunk, the dismount. I got a 7 one day on the dismount because my man, Kevin Richardson, here right next to me. You think how you want to celebrate those moments, and then life comes along and you find yourself celebrating them in new ways. And there on that day, this new church to us showed us their heart. For 80-some people kept a secret from us all day that you knew that our wedding anniversary was that day. So we walked into evening dinner Tuesday night, taco night at camp, and there in the middle of that room of set tables was one table set for two in the middle of all of these people, candles on it. Someone had brought their finest china, and we were served camp tacos in style, right? Jeff Harris, where's Brother Harris over there, right? He came out with the bottle of sparkling pink lemonade and popped the cork, had me smell the cork, make sure that the lemonade was proper. And then a few minutes later, the Harrises led a mariachi band coming out singing to us, and then it was complete with wedding cake at the end of the event. We felt loved and surrounded by this community, and so we thank you for allowing us to share that special moment with you. Baby, I don't care if choir camps during our 25, they can make it without us that year, all right? We're doing something different then, all right? All right? By then, they will not know they need us. Pardon? Oh, in the kazoo band, they gave 80 kids kazoos. Who thought that was a good idea, right? It was good in the moment, but at midnight, the teenage boys were playing Ozzy Osbourne on their kazoos, man. It was bad news. All summer long, we're in the midst of our sermon series called Things We Want to Remember, and I've been using the refrigerator as our symbol of that, because in our house, the important things we want to remember end up on the refrigerator. The people we want to remember, the art we want to remember, the thank you cards that come from the people that we want to remember, we put them all on our refrigerator. So each week of this sermon series, I've been giving you something to take home so that you can remember, and it's a kitchen magnet that you can put on your refrigerator. We started out this sermon series by saying, say it till it, and it sounds like it's starting to, say it till it sticks. We're going to be the church that says it over and over and over again, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, and we're going to say it until it sticks. The next week, we talked about Jesus' very first sermon, and I gave you a magnet that said, it's not about it's not about you. Jesus stood up on that very first worship service that he had with that community, and he told them, I'm here today to tell you that my work is not about you, it's about them. It's about those who have yet to know the love of Jesus Christ. And some of you really loved this it's not about you magnet so much that you came and got extras and sent them to your bosses and your in-laws, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciated that, right? Last week's sermon series had one word on it, and that word was say yes, right? We're gonna say yes. I'm a permission-giving pastor. We are a permission-giving church. So when a young person comes up and says, I like Pokemon, and I think we are the church in the middle of this Pokemon thing going on, I know, Pastor, you don't even know what that is, but I do. Would it be okay if you help me use my church and its space in order to make space for all of these people around us? So I said yes. We say yes. We say yes to the work that God is doing in our life. Today, you get a commemorative magnet, and I didn't know how many people would be here today, so please take one per family so everybody gets one, and if you run out of them, I'll order some more. This week says, it's all about that grace. It's all about that grace. As we get into that today, I just share with you these words from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesians. Put that up on the screen there for me, would you? You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else, but God. Did you ever know that everything that's said before but doesn't matter? Pastor, I really liked your sermon today, but... right? So all of that leads up to but God. How many times in your life was it going this way, but God showed up? But God, who is rich in mercy, out of great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in our trespasses, we were made alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
so that in the ages to come, God might show the immeasurable richness of his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, we have been saved through faith. And this is not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not as the result of works, so that no one should boast. For we are what he made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, take these words and take our hearts and make them acceptable, make them livable, make them lovable, make them to be the kinds of things that bring life to others. We ask this all in your name. Amen. When I was 8 years old, I wanted a gift for Christmas more than I wanted any other gift. Remember, I was an 8 year old in the year 1979, and there wasn't a boy alive in 1979 who didn't want this gift. Stretch Armstrong. I wanted a Stretch Armstrong. And any other guys want a Stretch Armstrong? Come on, Kevin, fess up, baby. You brought yours to camp. You're older than that, but you still wanted one. I know it. No, all right. Your Stretch Armstrong doll. I wanted that doll so bad. And there it was, under the tree on Christmas Day. My parents, who loved me, who knew the gift I wanted so badly, who knew that they could go out and get it, got more joy out of giving me that gift than any gift. That doll could stretch so far. And that doll lasted in my house for 4 weeks because me and my buddy Pat, we decided to see how far Stretch Armstrong could really stretch, right? Tied one end to my bike and one end to his bike. And we just biked until Stretch Armstrong was gone. 4 weeks, but my parents made sure I got the gift that I wanted. When I was 12, there was another gift that I wanted so bad. You see, in 1983, technology was all the boom, and everybody wanted one of these, right? The Atari 2600. 26 megabytes. 2,600 megabytes of technology, baby, right? One stick, one button. That's all the hardcore video gamers need, people. One stick, one button. We played it till our thumbs cramped up, right? Pac-Man, Pong, we played it over and over and over again. And I was convinced that we were the only kid in the universe who didn't have one of these games. And there in Christmas 1983, under the tree, was the video game that my parents, who loved me, knew that I wanted, knew that they could get it to us, and they got more joy out of giving me that gift than we ever did in receiving it. Fast forward with me 4 more years, I'm a 16-year-old boy. What does every 16-year-old boy want for his birthday? A car. This is the car my parents got me on my 16th birthday. Right there. Right? 1974 Chevy Caprice station wagon, complete with the wood paneling on the side. That thing was a babe magnet, man. Babe magnet. I took a girl to prom in that car, man. Right? I showed up, I had that baby waxed down. It only had an AM radio in it. That's the only radio it had. So I had a boombox sitting on the, remember boomboxes, right? I had a boombox on the front, on the seat of that, so we could listen to our Bon Jovi tapes while we cruised down the highway, right? That car was only 4 years younger than I was at the time, right? But I wanted a car, and my parents, who loved me, who knew what I desired, who could make the gift happen, got more joy out of giving me that car than I ever did in receiving it. You see, there's a thing, young people, that you will come to know, that we, your parents, the people who love you, we really like giving you gifts more than we like getting them. I was told when I was a young person, oh, it's better to give than receive. And I'm like, yeah, right. Let me tell you, it is so much better to be the gift giver. It's so much fun to think about what can I give my kid right now that will give them the kind of joy. And in the end, it gives us way more joy. That became very clear to me 2 years ago at Christmas, because my boys were convinced they were the last two children on the planet to have their own video game system. We told them they weren't going to get it until they were 15 years old. But we loved them. We knew what they wanted, and we wanted the joy of the surprise. So this is what happened on Christmas at our house 2 years ago.
Oh,
That's why gift givers love to give gifts. Not because so much of because it triggers, when the gift is right, and the moment is right, and the love is right, it engenders a joy that fills the gift giver way beyond what the gift receiver did. What my little boys were doing that day on Christmas was exactly what was going on in their parents' heart at that moment, because in that moment we got it right. And why did we go out of our way to get our kids that gift? Because we loved them. And we knew what they desired. And we could make that gift possible. And because I wanted the joy that comes in being the gift giver. One of the ways that we understand who God is God is the great gift giver. God is divine parent. We are the divine children. We are children of God's fold, and nothing gives God more joy than giving the right gift at the right time to God's kids. And why does God give the gift? Because God loves us, and God knows what we desire, and because God can give the gift we need. And don't miss this. The gift giver has way more joy giving the gift than we ever do in receiving it. God's joy is in giving the right gift to his children at the very right time. And what is that gift that you and I want more than anything else when it comes to God? We want to know that we are loved. We want to know that we belong. We want to know that we are forgiven. And here's the deal, and it only gets harder when you get older, is that most of our life we walk around feeling like somehow, some way, we have missed the gift that God has given us. Somewhere deep in our spirit, we worry that maybe we aren't lovable enough to get that gift. We worry that somewhere deep in our bones that we'll never belong to God's family. And the heartbreaking one that we talked about all week is something in our psyche tells us that we are ultimately not forgiven. That maybe we've done something that is unforgivable, and maybe if we haven't, we walk around waiting for the other shoe to fall, that there's going to come a moment when we will do something to mess God's gift up. And that's why I wanted to talk about this scripture today, and it's what we talked about all week at camp, because we talked about forgiveness, and you can't talk about forgiveness if you don't understand this one single word. And that's why today I'm here to tell you it's all about that grace. Grace. If you want to walk out of here today and get a tattoo on your right arm, make sure it says the word grace on it. Grace. Don't do that without getting permission. Don't be like Pastor Jeff said, I can get a tattoo today. All right? I did not say you could get a tattoo. I said if you want, forget it. Don't do it, right? I'm in trouble. Get the word grace, because if you can remember one word for the rest of your life, it's that word grace, because grace makes all the difference in the world. And the word grace translates simply into gift, blessing, favor. And catch again what Paul said about grace. For by grace you have been saved. For by gift you have been saved. For by gift you are loved. For by gift you belong. For by gift you and we are forgiven. And it is not of your own doing. Thank God for that. You can't, we can't buy grace. We can't earn grace. You can't do anything to get it. So that means you can't do anything to lose it. You get grace because God gives it. And why does God give it? Because God loves you, because God knows the gift we need. God can give the gift, and giving the gift gives God way more joy in our ever receiving it. The gift has already been given. And if the gift has already been given, then what can the only people who get the gift do with the gift? Receive it. Open it. The gift's not yours until you've opened it, until you received it. So God's given the gift. If you don't feel like you've got it, it's simply because you don't realize maybe God's given it. And if you don't realize God's given it, then how can you receive it? So I'm here today to tell you the gift has been given, and all you can do is accept the gift. But we don't quite get it. So I got an example here for you. This woman right here, Bridget Nelson, married to her for 20 years, she loves me. She thinks I'm the coolest thing that ever happened to her. Right? Right? Of course, right. Right? This doesn't work if that's not true. So for our 20th anniversary, Bridget wanted to give me the one gift that she knew I wanted more than anything. So she went out of her way to find the one gift that I wanted more than anything. Here's what she got me. She got me season tickets to the Green Bay Packers. Right? 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 It's a metaphor. It's an example, right? Right. But those don't do me any good, right? Because the Packers play in Green Bay, and I'm still a pastor here in Royal Oak. So Bridget loves me so much and wanted me to experience this gift that not only that, she's arranged for a helicopter to land on the roof of this church at 12 o'clock every Sunday this fall that will then fly me directly from here to the very front door of Lambeau Field, right? To the very front door of Lambeau Field. Yes, that's where I'm going to be every Sunday. She loves me that much. Not only does she love me that much to arrange all that, she's arranged for an usher to meet me at the front door with my cheese head and body paint, right? So that I can experience the game. And not only that, she has arranged with the concessions to make sure that as soon as I walk through the door, I will have a bratwurst and an appropriate beverage in my hand in order to enjoy the game, okay? And not only that, but when the game is over, she's going to arrange for a limousine to pick me up, drive me to downtown Green Bay to Brett Favre's famous steakhouse, right? Where I'm going to enjoy a wonderful meal. And because she loves me so much, she has already gone out of the way to make sure that my favorite Green Bay Packer, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, will be there to share every single meal with me, right? Right? He's already filed a restraining order, but that's another story, right? That he's going to be there for every meal. And then, when the meal is over, the helicopter will be there to pick me up and will fly me right back here to Royal Oak. That's how much my wife loves me. Right? Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. What if she gave me that gift, and on giving me this gift, this perfect gift, I looked at her right in the eye and I said, baby, I don't deserve it. That's too much. It's too big. What if I looked at this woman who went out of her way to give me the one gift she knew I wanted, and I said to her, I can't accept it because I don't deserve it? Would that change the fact that she has given me the gift? What if I let it sit on my dresser for a whole year and said, baby, I'll use that gift as soon as I'm able to give you a gift of equal value? Would that change the fact that she's given me the gift? No, the gift would just go unused until I felt like I was worthy or deserving to get it. And who would I rob the most joy from if I said that to? I would rob it from her. I would say to her, I know you sacrificed. I know you thought. I know that you went out of your way to give me the one gift you wanted to give. But baby, thank you, but I don't deserve it. I would steal every single ounce of joy from the person who gave me the gift. And here's what I know after years of ministry, that we walk around with the God who's given us the great gift of grace, who's given us his love, who's given us a community to belong to, who's given us forgiveness. And we look at God in the eye and say, I don't deserve it. And God says, I don't care. I gave you the gift. Would you just receive it? Years ago, I was the pastor associate. Well, I jumped ahead in my example. You know how I know grace works about gift? Because I was at choir camp this week. Right? I was at choir camp this week. You want to know what grace looks like when it gets involved in people? Here's a group of young people who this week benefited from a community of 45 to 50 adults who were there on site from Sunday to Saturday. And these adults sacrificed their time, they sacrificed their talent, they sacrificed their energy, they slept on top bunks with smelly teenage boys. Maybe that was just me, but I did that, right? They poured into kids' music, and it wasn't just the people who were on site. It was a whole church that prayed and prepared for that to happen, that put gifts in the offering plate in order to make sure that that was happening. You don't realize it this week, but you got to participate in the week of your life because it was a gift that somebody gave to you. And why did they give it to you? Because these people love you. These people know the gift that you need more than anything is to know that you are loved, to know that you belong, and to know that you are forgiven. And these people gave you that gift because you don't know this, but in giving you that gift, they got way more joy out of it than you did. So if you think you had the best week of your life, you have no idea the kind of week we had. And we're here to tell you that every ounce of work, sweat, tears and frustration was worth it to see the joy on your face. That is grace, and you do that grace so that a moment at a campfire on a last night that a young man, 17 years old, Eric Blessman, can stand up in front of a group of people and say, I came to this camp 7 years ago, and I wasn't sure I was loved, and I wasn't sure I belonged, but I kept coming back because people here kept telling me I was loved, and people here kept telling me I belong. And then a young man, a 70-year-old, went around the room and said, I thank you, and 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 I know I haven't named everybody that I'm supposed to thank, so I thank all of you. That is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Choir camp is an example of what happens when it's all about grace, when it's all about gift and the gift giver. Eric, you embodied the grace that has been prayed into you for years, and on that night, you just returned a shed of it back to all of us who love and care. I've only known you 4 weeks, man, but I think you're pretty awesome, right? Thank you, right? A few years back, I was an associate pastor in the Methodist Church in Birmingham. I was young in my career, and it was that very first Christmas, and a member of the church gave me a Christmas card with a gift in it, a check that was too big for me. It was $1,000, and I was embarrassed. So I went to my senior pastor, and I said, Bill, I can't accept this check. It's too much. It's too big. I don't deserve it. That senior pastor didn't get mad at me, but he got real serious. He said, listen here, young man, don't you dare rob the joy of the gift giver. Take that gift. Say thank you for the gift. Shut up about the gift. And then by all means, go and enjoy the gift. And that's where my sermon is supposed to end. But then I met Claire this week. I met you. And we went through this whole lesson at Bible study, and I thought I got you to get all the answers right. I said, why do our parents give us gifts? Because they love us, because they can, because it gives them more joy. And I'm like, amen, let's go home. And little Claire rose her hand and said, Pastor Jeff, I think there's one more reason. Do you remember what you told me? What'd you tell me? Because our parents hope that the gift that they have given us, we might share with somebody else. Oh my God, Claire. I got 2 advanced degrees and I didn't even figure that out, right? And it took you in that